Hello, and welcome to the Musicuentos Black Box Podcast. I am Sarah Elizabeth Cottrell, and I'm the blogger behind Musicuentos.com. The Musicuentos Black Box Podcast is designed to help you put second language acquisition research to work in the world language classroom. The topic of this episode is an article called The Effect of Language Learning Aptitude, Strategy Use, and Learning Context on L2 Pronunciation Learning. It was written by Wendy Baker Smimo and Naomi Haslam of Brigham Young University and published in the September 1, 2013 issue of the journal Applied Linguistics. I have a student, let's call her Helen. We'll see if she reminds you of one of your students. Helen is in her fourth year of studying Spanish, and she's an excellent student. Not just for me, I mean in all of her classes. She's one of the top students in her grade. But she struggles significantly in one important area in my class, pronunciation. In her choices for our homework options assignments, she's called a product's comment line in Spanish to tell them what she thought of the product. The person on the other line told her, "Sorry, I can't understand you." Another week, she tried to have a conversation with Siri on her iPhone. Same story, Siri could not understand her. This bright, intelligent student is nearly incomprehensible to natives unaccustomed to language learners because she can't clean up her vowels and a few important consonants. What am I supposed to do? Is it possible she just isn't going to improve? Are there any strategies I can suggest that might help her? The possible answer might surprise you, and it's the topic of the research that Baker Smimo and Haslam recently published. Our two researchers were wondering, do learners who use particular strategies to try to improve their pronunciation actually do so? What about whether all types of learners use these strategies to the same extent? What about student aptitude? What about the context where the learning happens? Do these factors, aptitude and context, affect whether students use strategies? Do these factors and strategy use actually improve pronunciation? Before we find out the possible answers, we need to understand what strategies are. It's pretty straightforward. A strategy is something a learner does to improve language learning. So far, research says that learners who use strategies improve more, and both good and poor learners use them. Good learners use them more efficiently and effectively, and successful students use large numbers of them. That's what we know about strategies. But when it comes to specifically strategies for improving pronunciation, we don't know a whole lot, so it's super interesting to see what happens here. So now you know what we're talking about with strategies. What about aptitude? What is it? And what does the research say about it? You've seen it before. As a language teacher, you probably have it. It refers to a learner's seemingly above-average natural ability to learn languages. Researchers began to look at this in the 50s and 60s, and indeed, it seemed like some people have a natural talent or set of talents that somehow enhances their ability to learn language. Of course, the research led to tests that claimed to identify these talents and identify the people who will be more successful and those who won't. Such talents on these tests include memory of sounds, remembering new words, finding patterns, and figuring out structure even in unknown languages. I'm sure you've seen these talents in people you know, and in your students. My mom has an incredible ability to parrot sounds. She can sound like a native in any language, it seems, but she's not good at identifying structure and reproducing it in different ways. My dad, on the other hand, doesn't have my mom's talent for sound memory, but can quickly comprehend complicated structures of all kinds, not just in language. So do people with several or all of these innate talents learn language better? The general research consensus is, yes, they do. But of course, there are still a lot of questions here. What predicts aptitude? Or even, what is it? It's the researcher's duty to point out that these questions still exist, but this particular article does not address them. Rather, what's important for this study is how participants scored on a particular very common aptitude test, the PIMSLR Language Aptitude Battery, or PLAB. The categories that were important have names like auditory ability or phonological memory, but to explain, it's talents like, can you tell the difference among sounds you hear? The way, for example, I cannot tell the difference between my nasal vowels and my Brazilian friend's nasal vowels. I swear we're saying the same thing, and she says we're not. Can you remember the sounds you hear? Can you associate sounds with their symbols? These talents seem to be important for oral fluency in a second language. Aside from strategies and aptitude, the third important category these researchers examined was context. It refers to the physical situation, whether you're surrounded by the language the way you would be in a study abroad program, versus studying the language here at home in a foreign context. I was super interested in the answer because we've all heard it before. If you want to be really fluent, go immerse yourself. Study abroad for a while. So I wanted to know, did Bakers, Mimo, and Haslam find what I had always assumed, that people who are immersed in the language, in the culture around them, will have better pronunciation? This isn't the most important part of the article, so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I'll preview it for you by telling you that in the end, the context doesn't seem to matter much. So to summarize the questions these two researchers were asking before we talk about the methodology. 1. Do learning context, that is, the environment you're in, and aptitude, that is, your natural talents for language, affect pronunciation strategies? 2. Do learning context and aptitude affect whether you improve your pronunciation? 3. Are specific features of language learning aptitude related to learning strategy use? In other words, if you have some aptitude talents but not others, does that affect which strategies you use? And the most important question, are specific features of language learning aptitude and different types of strategies related to pronunciation gains? This is the key question. Do particular natural talents or particular strategies you use actually work? This is what I wanted to know for Helen. If she doesn't have aptitude for sounds of language, are there strategies I can tell her to do to improve her pronunciation? Just to bait you, before I describe the research experiment itself, the answer is yes, but you'll never guess what it is. I sure didn't. Now let's move on to how the research project itself was set up. The methodology involved two groups here. One was a group of students who spoke Chinese as their native language and were studying English as a foreign language in China. The second group of students was studying English as a second language at an intensive English program in the U.S. Their first languages varied and included Chinese, Japanese, Spanish, Portuguese, and Korean. The students' proficiency according to the ACFL ratings ranged from intermediate low to intermediate high. To answer their questions, the researchers asked the students to complete 4 tasks. First, they took the Pimsleur Language Aptitude Battery, because it seems to be a good predictor of aptitude. On this test, students answer a variety of questions. They report on how they do or did in native language subjects at school. They rate how interested they are or motivated they are in learning another language. They look at a list of words and for each one, choose the correct synonym among 4 options. They use a list of fake translations for words to try to translate some sentences. They learn 3 vocabulary words from another language, then choose which one they heard in a sentence. Finally, they listen to some fictitious English words and then choose the supposedly correct spelling. After participants took the exam, Baker, Smimo, and Haslam divided the students into groups of high and low aptitude for the purposes of answering their questions. In each learning context, they took the top and bottom 15 or 16 students, 16 when there was a tie for the last spot. That is, in the U.S. context, they look at the 15 or so students with the highest aptitude and the 15 or so students with the lowest aptitude. Same with the students studying English in China. Next, the students took a pre-pronunciation test. They had to read 3 sentences with difficult English sounds and then respond spontaneously to a prompt question typically asked on the ACFL oral proficiency interview. Participants were graded by 2 raters trained in both ESL and pronunciation in particular, who met together for reliability. They rated students from 1 low to 7 high on 4 areas: fluency, which involved hesitation, comprehensibility, accuracy, and something I don't quite understand called global foreign accent, which is somehow a combination of the first 3 factors. After the pre-pronunciation test, the researchers and students waited 10 weeks before completing the last 2 tasks. After 10 weeks, for their 3rd task, the participants took a post-pronunciation test, much like the first, to see whether or not and how much they had perhaps improved their pronunciation in the intervening 10 weeks. For their final task, the students answered questions on a survey known as the Strategic Pronunciation Learning Scale, or SPLS. The survey asked students questions about which strategies they use to improve their pronunciation and how often they use them. The names for the strategies are a little complicated, but involve things like practicing by adjusting the muscles in your face, noticing when people speaking English make mistakes, forming a hypothesis, which somehow means that you keep working until you reach your pronunciation goals, testing a hypothesis, like being willing to guess the pronunciation of words you don't know, and lastly, strategies related to motivation, like repeating words silently while you listen, and listening for and practicing new sounds in order to improve. Okay, so that's how the research was conducted. What were the results? I'm going to rush a little through these first few findings to get to the really interesting parts. For the first question, do learners in different contexts and with different aptitudes use different strategies? Long story short, everyone used the noticing strategies less. Everyone tested their hypotheses and used motivation strategies more. The high aptitude group learning within the target culture used more strategies. and the high aptitude group learning in a foreign context used the least strategies. But the real story here is that when they analyzed the data statistically, the researchers found that neither aptitude nor context had a significant effect on strategy use. That is, whether or not students had high aptitude, or whether they were learning within the target language country or not, was not related to whether they would use more or fewer strategies. On to question two. Do context and aptitude have anything to do with students improving their pronunciation? Again, Baker, Schmimo, and Haslam found that context and aptitude did not have a significant effect on pronunciation gains. That one surprised me. Did you catch that? It would seem that students with high aptitude don't improve their pronunciation any more than students with low aptitude. And students immersed in the culture of the target language don't either. Not any more than students studying a foreign language while surrounded by their native language. But there could be a problem here. Although it seems that overall aptitude doesn't have much to do with improving pronunciation, what about the particular categories of aptitude? Remember how the aptitude test was looking for several different talents? Can we tell if having one of those talents in particular means a learner will use more strategies? That's question three. Do particular aspects of aptitude affect whether or how students use strategies to improve their pronunciation? Since they already found that the context didn't seem to affect anything, the research combined the data for all students on this question because the analysis was better with more participants. Here's what they found. The more a student used one strategy, the more they used the others. Also, students with a high aptitude in one area tended to have high aptitude in other areas, except, and here's the most interesting part, except the motivation score. The motivation score didn't have much to do with high or low aptitude in any other area, but the motivation score did correlate with strategy use. In other words, students who had high, quote-unquote, aptitude in the motivation category used more strategies. This motivation aspect played out in question four as well. In their last question, the researchers asked, how do aspects of aptitude in the strategies students use affect how much they improve aspects of their pronunciation? For this question, too, they analyzed both groups together, and they ended up with three important findings. First, learners with high aptitude in phonetic coding, which has to do with the memory of sounds, improved their global foreign accent, fluency, and accuracy. Indeed, learners with high aptitude overall improved their global foreign accent and their accuracy, which is particularly important because, remember, what's called the global foreign accent is a combination of the other three pronunciation categories. This makes me think maybe this high aptitude thing does have to do with improving pronunciation after all. But second, and here's where motivation comes in again, students with a high motivation score on the aptitude test were able to improve more in their comprehensibility and their fluency. Third, the only pronunciation category that improved if students used particular strategies was comprehensibility. The strategies that correlated with improvements in comprehensibility were noticing, hypothesis formation, hypothesis testing, and again, motivation. So what does all this mean? In this kind of research, you can't really say, look, doing this one thing leads to this other thing. Tell your students to do this and their pronunciation will improve. So let's be careful to take this research for what it is, a statistical analysis of tests taken by a group of 60 language learners. But what we can do is look at it and say, hey, that's interesting. It looks like these people improve their pronunciation by doing this. What could that mean for my students who want to improve their pronunciation? For me, what could that mean for Helen? First, students learning in different contexts, whether immersed in the target language culture or learning a foreign language within their own culture, don't seem to show many differences in strategy use. Context doesn't seem to make a big difference, perhaps because of the widespread access to media. So no matter where a student is, if they have access to the internet, they have nearly unlimited access to English. But isn't that true for other languages as well? With collaborative sites and services popping up everywhere, we can give our students access to language like never before. The second finding is straightforward and has little implication for us here. Among the four groups studied, high and low aptitude, foreign or second language context, all of them use similar strategies at a similar frequency to improve their pronunciation. Third, and this is the most important one to me, learners with high motivation on the aptitude test were the ones who used many pronunciation strategies. It was the only category of aptitude that correlated this way. There is a question of whether motivation comes from aptitude, and then having both leads to a student using more strategies. I don't know. But it intrigues me that Helen's seeming lack of aptitude in pronunciation may not hinder her from improving. It may be that she simply has to want to badly enough. These results also suggest learners may have the most control over improving their fluency and comprehensibility over time, and this is part of the last finding as well. The more a learner used pronunciation strategies, the more comprehensible their pronunciation became. It could be because their goal was comprehensibility all along. The speaker doesn't need to attain a native accent. That doesn't need to be anyone's goal. They just want to be understood, and the native audience just wants to understand them. It's powerful for Helen to be told by a corporate hotline that she's incomprehensible. It's powerful for Siri to tell her that she's incomprehensible. I hope it's powerful for her to have the conversation I had with her last week, that the goal isn't perfection, it's comprehensible, and that she can do that by doing things like focusing on how her mouth forms vowel sounds, by noticing how people pronounce words in Spanish correctly or incorrectly, and by being willing to try out words she's not sure about. The argument the researchers end with here is that students need to be able to accurately perceive what native speakers are saying and how they say it. But what do we actually do in the classroom? Baker, Smimo, and Haslam have a couple of tips for us. First, they recommend that we focus on noticing strategies in the classroom, since students don't naturally focus on these. The example given for this type of strategy in the article is, quote, "I notice when people speaking English make mistakes," end quote. Also, the researchers encourage us to focus on strategies for improving comprehensibility and end by saying that time spent teaching pronunciation strategies is important, regardless of context. So how do we put this into practice? I recommend that you use authentic resources from a variety of countries. Students need to get used to how people from different places pronounce words, and pointing out these differences will encourage them to notice pronunciation changes. An example that comes to mind for Spanish is the song Tu Recuerdo by Ricky Martin and Mari from the band Chambao. In the song, Mari shows how part of her strong Spanish accent makes her drop the final S sound on nearly every word. It's a powerful example of how differently people can pronounce things, and by the way, still be quote-unquote correct, and how this can affect meaning and comprehensibility. Finally, encourage your students. Encourage them to pursue being understood, not attaining a native accent. Make this goal even more front and center by making it a part of your assessment. The rubric I use to score every performance-based assessment, which is the only type of test I give, includes comprehensibility as a major focus category. Students are assessed every time, not on pronunciation for pronunciation's sake, but on how well they could be understood by a native speaker. Above all, encourage them to identify and grow their intrinsic motivation to learn the language, because their own motivation is their most powerful weapon against incomprehensibility. For more episodes of The Black Box, resources, the Musicuentos blog, and information about services, visit musicuentos.com. You'll find more information about the homework choice activity and the performance assessment rubric mentioned in this episode there as well. Join in the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/musicuentos or on Twitter at twitter.com/blackboxpodcast. Join me next time for more of the Musicuentos Black Box Podcast. It's the best of grad school without the tuition or the homework.